This is a chazara of the, and actually also bringing in some stuff we didn't cover on Shavuot, some of the other facts like the Kesem Mishnah and Rabbaz.
We did Kesem
Mishnah. Briefly though, not but I want to go over the entire thing, and the sugi we did was over Lasiyasam, which is a very complex sugi. All right, so let's start with the Rambam. So the Rambam is Hilchos Brachos Perek Aleph, right? Starting from Halacha Aleph. So the Rambam says, Mitzvah Semin HaTorah Levarach Achar Achilas Mazon, Shenemar Ve'achalta V'Savata, Uvirachtas Hashem Lekecha. So the Rambam says what? What does he say? There's a mitzvah to say to do what?
To bench, right?
To bench. And that is, and what state do you have to be in the bench? Svia, satiated, not just satisfied, satiated. That's a different idea. And then what did Chazal do in Halacha Beis? So Chazal came along and they extrapolated from benching, from mazon and svia to birchas nenin. So remember, benching, the birchas and mazon is not really birchas nenin, right? It's really birchas hodah, right? It's a response, the state that you're in. But what Chazal did is they took that and then they extrapolated from that birchas nenin. Now that's not our sugya, how that worked, but we just need to get that clear. That's what happened, okay? And then he says in Halacha Gimel, so and he wants to create some type of parallel between Birchas Nenin and Birchas Mitzvah. And what's the parallel? The parallel is that just like by Birchas Nenin, what do? I make the bracha first and do the Maisa. So too by Birchas, or actually do the Achila. So too by Birchas Mitzvah, what do? I make the bracha and then I do the Maisa Mitzvah, right? And then he says at the end, Brachos Rabos Tiktu Chachamim Derech Shevak V'Hodaya. So he introduces this miscellaneous amalgam of various brachos that have to do with Shevach and Hodah, which aren't formalized in the category of Birchas Nen and Birchas Mitzvah. And then Halacha Dalet, he says, Nimsu kol brachos kulan shel shaminim, and he almost repeats himself, because he says, we find there are three species of brachos, Birchas Hodah, Birchas Mitzvah, and Birchas Hodah. Right? So far, so good? We asked that question. Why did the Rambam repeat himself? The Gemara in Bracha, so where's the source? Where's the source for Berchas Torah, Berchas and Mazon? So you know it's Midaraisa, but it's an interesting Gemara in Brachas, Chafaf and Aleph, that says, Amrav Yudah, Minayin the Berchas and Mazon la'achareya, Minatara, Shinemar, Ve'achalta, Ve'savata, Ve'irachta. So we see that you make the bracha berachas mazon afterwards, and how do we know that? Because the Torah says you eat and then you get satiated, and then after you're satiated, what do? You make the blessing, correct? And then it says minayin the berachas Torah lefanea min haTorah, shenemar ki shem Hashem ekra habu gadol lakenu. So we know the berachas Torah comes before you do Torah, because it says in the pasuk ki shem Hashem ekra, and Rashi explains that when Moshe was poseach with the divrei shira, so he would first say a bracha and then they would answer amen to that. What question do we ask on this?
Yeah.
On this Gemara? Yeah.
Why do they compare the blessing of the from satiation
right
to the blessing of the Torah?
There's some type of comparison. There's some type of intrinsic comparison between the bracha of Birchas HaTorah, the Birchas HaTorah, and Birchas HaMazon. Right? Now, I understand that the placement's different, but I'm curious.
We see the
two mandated blessings? They are. But this is the Gemara that talks about that fact, that it isolates that facet. The question that's bothering me is, why does the Torah set up these two as the paradigms? Okay, the Birkos Mazon and Limud Torah. Why they set up as the paradigms? Right. Remember, Chazal extrapolates from these two. Right. Chazal extrapolate Birkos Nanin from Birkos Mazon and Birkos Mitzvos from Birkos Torah. So I wanted to understand why they set up as the paradigms, and do they share something in common? And the answer is yes, which we're not get to yet. All right, and now let's do the Gemara Yerushalmi.
Okay.
So Yerushalmi is where? Yerushalmi is in Brachos Vav Aleph, right? Perek Vav Aleph.
Yeah.
So what does it say there? It says, how do you know? Yes, it says, how do you know? How do you know that mitzvos require bracha? So we know that from Torah. From the pasuk, says, "Vetnelecha as lukos avem at Torah mitzvah, hikish Torah the mitzvos, ma Torah tu nebracha, af mitzvos tu nebracha." Right. So that's the clear extrapolation of berachos a mitzvah from berachos a Torah, which we have to understand a little clearer as well. So what I suggested we do, which created a little bit of controversy, is to go to that griz, right? And what does the Grizz there say? And it seems to be a little difficult. It's a difficult Grizz. So the Grizz quotes his father, Chaim, and he's dealing with the dilemma of women making a bracha on Limud Torah, which is a very odd idea. Because if women are pater from the mitzvah Talmud Torah, so why would they make a bracha? Right? How could it be they make a bracha? Yeah. Let me just read it inside. He says, "Vineikvar hekshu." This is the Grizz on Hilchos Brachos. "Vineikvar hekshu ahad nashim varchos birchos haTorah v'ha paturos mitalmud Torah uviyoser kasha ladasam Rambam shepasak b'parak gimel mehilchos tzitzis de al mitzvos shanashim paturos einon rishos levarchalam." Right? "Veichivarchu birchos haTorah kiven the paturos mitalmud Torah." So he says it is. He says, "Vishamati." He heard from his father. He learned from his father. "De birchos haTorah ein habracha." Al kiyum ha mitzvah shel Talmud Torah. Right, so in Birchas Torah, the bracha is not going on the kiyum ha mitzvah shel Talmud Torah, even though it sounds like it should be. Right, rak dehu din bifnei atzma de Torah by bracha. Very fascinating idea. So what's he saying? He's saying that Torah itself demands bracha. So if I decide to engage in limud Torah, right, that demands bracha. That demands bracha. Right. Ukidalfin alav brachos daf chafalaf mikra dechishem hashem ekra. Right, im kein ein zedin sheshayach la mitzvah klal, rak the Torah atzma to una bracha. V'nashim peturos rak me mitzvah shel Talmud Torah, ava inon mufkos me etzem achasah shel Talmud Torah. V'limudam ave bichlal Talmud Torah. So they're learning Talmud Torah, and they're just not removed from whatever this business is of the etzem chasah shel Talmud Torah. Kevin the latzinon alzeh mikolach lesa the kiyum mitzvah klal. Alright, so now let's take a step back and go in the order that we formulated. So what was the first thing we said? Just the first, or sometimes in these areas, you just got to take an intuitive step. This isn't a big chiddush. If I asked on its most basic level, what's the idea of making a bracha before any mitzvah? Okay, what's it not like, for sure? It's not like birchas hananim. Because how's birchas hananim set up? It's a matir. Now it's hard, and there are people who say this, but to me it's hard to understand. Buy food.
No,
food is, I don't know. What's the first thing we said? If I asked you, What is a bracha? Why would you say a bracha before a mitzvah? And it's most, you guys got to go back in time, not the beginning, but what would you say the simplest way to approach that is?
Yeah, I'd say the before mitzvah, say you're in a better
mindset before mitzvah. No, that's already the ritual. All right, so I'll say this. There's, what's a bracha mitzvah doing? So it's characterizing the maisa as a maisa kodesh, or maisa voda. Okay, in other words, beforehand, I have grape. Well, that's a bad example. Beforehand, I'm about to pick up my lulav, right? So what do I need to do? I got to take that. I know that was also bad. Shouldn't use the lulav example either. Beforehand, I'm about to put on my tefillin, right? So what I got to do? I have to recognize before I put my tefillin that this is a maisa shel avodas Hashem.
You have to recognize that this has to be.
Actually, Tucker's right. In other words, this maisa now will be one that is avodas Hashem. I'm characterizing the maisa. That's what the bracha's function is. Its function is to characterize the maisa in a certain way.
Well, what's the point of characterizing
it? I didn't go into this stuff yesterday, but what Chazal wanted some type of delineation between chol and avoda, right? So the bracha is the mechanism. If a guy, and of course, if a guy picked it up, he's yotzei. But Chazal inject this idea of mitzvah. Well, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but Chazal inject this idea of mitzvah, a bracha on mitzvah. To really create the relation. I mean, think about it. It's very intuitive. I'm about to do a mitzvah. I stop, make a bracha, and then do the ma'aseh mitzvah. I mean, what better way to ensure the delineation between avoda and chol, right? Okay. But then that leads us to, with that in mind, let's just slide to the right, to now the question of the tie-in of benching and Talmud Torah. And what makes Talmud Torah unique? And this is the point I want to get out of the grizz. What's unique about Talmud Torah? The mitzvah, what?
No, not the mitzvah, the action.
The action, yeah.
The engagement itself.
It is the objective.
Right. So you can have an idea of an etzem chesed shel Talmud Torah, because what is Talmud Torah? Ultimately, it's a hisaskus itself. That is the objective. The objective of Torah is being involved in it.
Can you say the mitzvah
is Talmud? So what makes Torah unique is that as a phenomenon, right? The real idea of Torah can never fit into the normative structure of what a mitzvah is, because there's no vehicle to objective. It's simply that is what you're supposed to be involved in. One second, and then that leads us to, and then you can understand the comparison to benching. Yeah. So we want to say that's what makes limud Torah different. Thank you. That's what makes what makes benching similar to limud Torah.
Yeah. All right, so just
you like that idea?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Just benching is the compared out of all food-related experiences.
How?
Because
Svia, Svia. Yeah,
Svia,
sorry, yeah.
When I said benchmark, I meant the
right.
Kingdom of Kishnachai invention.
Right.
Because it is the proactive addition of a positive sexual experience, while all other eating experiences are the removal of a negative sexual experience, while not being a positive addition of one, which is Svia.
Right. Remember that's what I'm trying to show you. It's that's what I'm saying, that when Chazal see these two deraisas, that's how they're extrapolating them, because they're saying that benching is different because, like you're saying, when a person's when he's in a state of satiation, so that is a different quality of hana, right? And that different quality of hana demands a response, right? But now, I don't want to get into why they put the bracha before him. It's a good question. But the point, though, is that everything after that is always going to be a inferior version of Hana. So that's why they use that as a paradigm. And in a similar fashion, when it comes to Torah, what do we say by Torah?
We say by Torah that Torah is the engagement of the objective.
Right.
For example, the engagement of the therefore, every other engagement, which is not the engagement with the objective itself, rather it's engagement with the intermediary vehicle, which will lead to engagement, is a reduced form of that ideal.
Correct.
Takes
right. So again, so it uses the paradigm of the structure of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, where Talmud Torah is itself there is no real vehicle. It's just simply hisaskus is the objective. So then they can learn from that. That's what the Gemara in Yerushalmi is saying. They extrapolate from that every other situation of mitzvah. Because remember, Talmud Torah is a mitzvah also. Every other situation of mitzvah, you have vehicle to objective. Okay, that's like that's the easy stuff. So let's get to the heart of the matter, which is the specifics about over lasi asa. So in order to do that, we go to the Rambam in where's the Rambam? The Rambam's in Hilchos Brachos Parak Yud Aleph, right? So let's pick it up from there. So what does the Rambam say there? Okay, he says like this. Okay, call Rishon Halacha Beis, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he describes a different kind of mitzvahs, right? And then he says at the end something very important. He says in every mitzvah, okay, and every mitzvah, says at the end of Halacha Beis, the chol mitzvahs asay shebein adam lekadosh baruch hu, bein mitzvah shei chova, bein mitzvah sheina chova, mevarach aleha kodom lasyasa. So he introduces this rule that whenever I have a bracha, right, when do I make the bracha? Over lasyasa. Excuse me, kodom lasyasa, right? Kodom lasyasa. Which sounds like a chronological idea.
Can you explain why it says
code here? No. So that's the Rambam's principle, right? I was advised not to use the word law, as I seemed to be doing yesterday, so we're going
to
call it principle. What? And then in Lacha Gimel, what does he say? But Mitzvah Darbanan as well. If you're going to do Mitzvah Darbanan, what do? You make the bracha beforehand, and then you do the mitzvah. Okay, fine. But then he comes along in Halacha Hey and says, by the way, also mitzvah v'lo birach, im mitzvah she'adayin asiyasa kayemes, mevarach achar asiya. Okay, v'im davar she'avarhu, eina mevarach. So he modifies the principle. He brings in what will appear to be a b'dievet case, and then a case that seems to break the rule. The b'dievet case is what? If a guy forgot to say the bracha before the maisa, so what can he do? There's still an opportunity he has to make the bracha as his lashon is adayin asiyasa kayemes, okay? Shasasiya, all right? Shasasiya. Now, what's the case? The case we're going to use is misate fetzitzis. So, what happens by misate fetzitzis? A guy he makes a bracha, he puts on his tzitzis. This is the part that got a little tricky, but he does his maisa. That's the action, okay? Some wanted to say, and therefore the action is ongoing. Okay, but I have a very difficult time with that. I don't understand what that means to say an action is ongoing, because an action implies that you're doing something.
Oh, the action is not ongoing.
What?
The action is not ongoing.
Oh, so you're saying it's not ongoing?
No.
Okay, good, okay. How is a mitzvah ongoing if I accomplish my... Okay, so that's what the easy way around is to say the kiyum, right? But I think what we're going to say in the end, I think, is a better thing to say.
It's not twisted up.
Okay.
As soon as we take
our he's bringing up a good point. That's also true. In order, you see the nature of the bracha too. I mean, he would argue lisatev. Well, actually, lisatev too, because atifa, you don't have to be covered all the time. But you're right. I mean, the bracha tefillin is lahaniach. It's not lovosh, right? So you do see there is some difference between the maisa and whatever takes place afterwards. But we're going to answer. We'll come
to that
at the end. What?
It's an action
to place on you,
no,
lahaniach. Lisatev, yeah. That's this.
It's not too
deep-wrapped. But what's the problem with the Rambam, though? Why won't the Rambam just say that I went ahead, I forgot to say the bracha, and that's it? Done. I didn't do it when I still. Everyone agrees you're supposed to do it when you do the, before you do the Maisa. I did the Maisa, I forgot to say the Bracha, so that's it. I lost out on an opportunity. It happens, right? Isn't that life? You know, listen, you miss out on opportunities. Even Alacha, so you missed it out. That's it. But that's not even so bad. The worst part is when the Rambam, I mean, again, he's quoting the Gemara, he's openly quoting the Gemara's case, but he says, Im Shachat below Bracha, Eino Chozer Acha Shchita. Right? So what does he say? He says that if I did Shchita without a Bracha, right, I can't go back. Excuse me. No, that makes sense, because there I complete the action, right? So if there's a situation where I did the Maisa Mitzvah, right, and that's it, there is no ongoing Mitzvah or ongoing action. If that's the case, so then I can't make a Bracha. Except for what? So that's the big problem. The problem is, how do you tolerate an exception? Okay. The problem is that there is an exception, and you can't get around that. So as we'll see when we get back into it, there's only so far you can go on remodifying an idea. You can't take it and then, like, you're not going to naturally make Berchus HaMitzvah include Tefillas Hager. Because the Gemara itself says Chutzpah Tefillas Hager. Okay? Any other questions on that? All right, what we didn't define yesterday is, what about the Gemara Yerushalmi on the Machlokes? We didn't define that yesterday, right?
No, we didn't.
That's important. That's important. So what does the Gemara there say? So that's in Tes Gimel and Brachos. Yeah, so you see an amazing thing. There's a Machlokes in the Gemara. It says, Mitzvahs, Amos of Arachalan, Rav Yochanan Omer, over Las Yasan, Rav Huna Omer, Vishas Las Yasan. So you have a Machlokes. You have a Machlokes whether... When do you make the bracha? Make the bracha, we'll say over means before, or b'shas asiyah. And there, does it, there that's not a l'chachilu b'dieved, that's a machlokas, right? Each side seems to say that this is the only way to do it.
The only way to do it, both sides?
What? So look at the Gemara M'sachim Zayin Amud Beis, all right? And this is where we're going to say as our first instruction to this whole business. The Gemara says, v'helchasa al bir chametz, right? So as we know, we didn't do the Gemara inside, which we'll do later on. But the Gemara says beforehand, is machlokas about what's the lashon of the bracha you make before you do bedikas chametz. Is it le or al? So how do we paskin? We paskin al bir chametz. So the Gemara says like this: Right. So how do we know that you make the bracha beforehand? Right. Amar Rav Yudah Mashmuel called mitzvos mevarach alin over las yasan. And then the Gemara asks a very strange question: My mashma dahave over lishna da akadumihu. So the Gemara says, what does over mean? Right, which would seem to imply that over has got various explanations. It means akdumi, and Rashi says there over kodem. Okay, kmo baibor sakushi kadmo b'misas of shalom. Right, and then the Gemara brings in all these psukim to prove it. Okay, so the first thing is the Gemara is telling you whatever over means lakdumi. Okay, but what I wanted to know is, What do we see from that? Is that just simply telling us a language idea, like a look up in a dictionary? No. What? Dictog, right? I don't think so. Okay, so that's one thing. Then the Gemara says what? Then the Gemara says, fine. Bei Rav Amre Chutz Minat Tefillah V'Shofar. So the principle of Over Las Yasa doesn't apply in two cases. There's two exceptions to the rule of Over Las Yasa. The first one is Tefillah, and the second one is Shofar. So the Gemara says, I can understand tefillah. Bishlama tefillah da kasi gavri lo chazi. So the tefillah makes sense because the guy's not a Jew yet. So how can he make the bracha? Ella, right? Here's the problem. Ella shofar, my time, huh? Why would you say by shofar that a guy does not make the bracha beforehand? I'll tell you why. Because what you'll say is, v'chitema mishum dilma mekalkala tekiya. Maybe you'll say there's a concern that he's going to mess up the tekiya, right? And if he messed up tekiya, what's the problem? It'd be a bracha batala. I made a bracha beforehand, right? Guy messed up tekiya. I say it's shem Hashem levatala. That's a big problem, right? So Gemara says, "Ihachi, I feel a shchito mila nami." So the Gemara says, "Great." The Gemara says, "Yeah, but that's true. I should apply the same din by other mitzvos and say by other mitzvos what could happen. It could be a mekalka also by other mitzvos. But that's what I would extrapolate from that. I'd say every mitzvah or any mitzvah, right?" So this is an astonishing Havmina Maskana here, right? What's the Gemara's Havmina? And I'm telling you, the Gemara's checkmating, again, I'm not sure how, we've got to be careful when we define the Havmina, but the Gemara is saying that if you apply this Havmina in reality, it wouldn't work, okay? But it's tolerating a conceptual possibility that we need to flesh out from the Gemara. So, and then the Gemara's left with which case? The case of Tevila, okay? Which we'll get to Tosos in a second. Okay. So the last thing we did before we started defining was the Ritva, right? That's your favorite thing, Kaka. What does Ritva say?
He says that there are two realities to the Bracha. It says in Shloshim, the Chazal of Ritzal, the Tamzeh, She'amru, Chazal of Art, Al-Misa, Ober, Al-Siyasim, Kei, She'is Kaddish, Tefila, Bracha, V'yigala, V'yodiya, She'obser, Al-Sum, Kei, Mitzos, Hashem, Yisbar.
So the first idea of Ober, Al-Siyasim, right, is what?
Is that it affects your
it's miskadesh, right? No, that you know that this mitzvah comes from God. So before, why do I make the bracha before I do the mitzvah?
So yeah,
that's what, remember. What's he being medayakin? He's not saying. He's not asking about the idea of bracha on mitzvah. He's saying if I say a bracha on mitzvah, why would it go beforehand? That's why it's an important point. Why should it go before? Well, right, so it's apparent to you that this is mitzvah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the second answer he gives is what? So I want to read that to mean that before I engage in a physical action of whatever it might be, picking up a lulav, right? I must engage in avodas nefesh first, right? So the avodas nefesh is the bracha. What?
It gets defined the most
people. Right. So I think what he's doing is there, he's taking our general concept of a bracha going on mitzvah. You never said the bracha to go before him. When he said the bracha goes on mitzvah, and he's breaking it up into two components. He's saying one idea of why it goes before him is because of what? Puts the...
So you have a greater kaplan that is for God.
Right, so that's the din of the gabra. The gabra has to be in a certain state of mind. And the second idea is what? It raises the maisa. By engaging in this maisa shevach, a bracha, it elevates the maisa from what? From simply picking up a palm frond to maisa mitzvah? There's another. I'll put it from a different way, but it's the same idea. Let's pivot for a second. The other way to put it is like this. When you look at a bracha, there's two things you could say. One thing is you could simply look at the idea of the bracha itself. And what's the idea? Right?
Let's put it.
What? Yeah, in other words, you recognize them back to this mitzvah. Asher Yisham Sassvanu, what do you call it? What? Asher Yisomer. Right? So what's he now saying? He's saying, I am now going to participate in the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Well, that's the din of the Gabra. Right? But you can also argue that the technical halachic structure of bracha, right, that halachic phenomenon of bracha, forget the words, it's the very idea of being engaged in bracha itself, right, that maisa of bracha, which is a maisa shevach, right, itself functions to elevate the maisa into one of maisa mitzvah. He's not making a comment on birchas and mitzvah. He's saying, if you're going to place birchas mitzvah somewhere, where are you going to place it? Beforehand. Why? Because by placing it beforehand, it accomplishes these two objectives. Okay? He's trying to explain what over las yasan means at this point. He's not saying what the bracha on mitzvah is. He's saying in bracha, why is it over las yasan? First step you have to make in order to make this make the flow of the Gemara reasonable.
It is not chronological stuff.
What? Oh, in other words, so right. So what does over mean? Let's first understand what over las yasan means. Why is the Gemara telling us this translation of the word over? Now you can see. Right, what is it? Right. You got to say that if you learn that the idea of the berachas mitzvah, the over las yasan, right, is a din in the that of the bracha itself is a separate idea of bracha and it's divorced from the mitzvah, meaning there's a din called bracha, right, and then after that comes mitzvah, then you have a big problem with all these cases. Well, certainly the case of shofar. And then Rama's not going to make sense either, and Shas Asiyasa, all these things won't work. But if you say that mitzvah itself is mechayiv bracha, it comes from the very mitzvah itself. What Chazal did was, they didn't create a separate bracha. Rather, they said, in mitzvah, we're going to say that mitzvah itself demands bracha, right? And by the way, and what's the precedent for that?
Mitzvah derabanan requires a bracha?
Yeah, mitzvah derabanan also. Any mitzvah, any ma'aseh mitzvah.
But not derisa. See, now on the derisa level.
No. But where's the precedent for that? Lima Torah. Just like Lima Torah itself demands is by bracha, so what they're saying is that the very idea, the very mitzvah itself requires bracha, right? And now, where would you put the bracha? So what's that idea? So if you tell me that mitzvah itself demands bracha, right, that the idea of bracha comes from the institution of mitzvah, now what's over Las Yassin telling you? What's over Las Yassin telling you? If the mitzvah itself demands bracha, so when the Gemara tells you it's lakdumi, what does that mean? It doesn't mean it's outside of mitzvah. It's saying that
it's in the category.
Exactly. The beginning of mitzvah is
bracha.
By the way, as a proof to that, well, you say overlaps also means that the bracha is coming along, as we first said, and it's like characterizing the mitzvah. That means it exists like in its own orbit, right? What I'm saying is that no, it's in the very fabric of the mitzvah, so to speak. The Rabbanim put it into mitzvah, and now what it's coming to, now the question is, if it's in mitzvah, then you could say what's it doing in mitzvah. Its objective is to qualify the mitzvah mitzvah, but qualification doesn't necessarily mean it must take place beforehand. You could have a b'shas asiyah. I'm really cheating to the Yerushalmi. You could, as long as in some way the bracha functions to qualify the ma'isa, then it's considered overlas yasin. If you don't say that, the Tosos and Lulav makes no sense. This Gemara makes no sense. You can't work anything out.
It doesn't affect the mitzvah.
What do you mean? Chokas in the Yerushalmi. We didn't define that yesterday. What's about chokas in the Yerushalmi? What do you say? What makes more sense? Overlas yasin or b'shas asiya? B'shas asiya. I like that. You're brave. Why? There's two. When it comes to the function of bracha, right? And remember, in the root of bracha, what do you have? What's the root of bracha? Every bracha has what common root to it? It's shabach, right? So the question like this. Question is, what's the function of the bracha, right? Is the shabach coming along, right, to do what? Is it for the mitzvah, right? Meaning, I say the bracha so that now, like the Ritva saying, that now when I do the maisa, I relate to it in a certain way. Or do you say, no, that I'm actually mishabeach with the mitzvah? Okay, my shabbat comes with the mitzvah. Okay, meaning that by being engaged in mitzvah, that's an opportunity for me to now give shabbat to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You understand? So there's two ways you could formulate how the bracha functions. What the first side say that the bracha is there to characterize the maisa. Or well, forget qualify the ma'isa, but they're both qualifications. But characterize the ma'isa in a certain way, and now I relate to it in a specific manner. Before my performance begins, I relate to it in a certain way. Or you could say no, that because I'm now engaged in mitzvah, there's an opportunity I have. There's an opportunity by being involved in mitzvah that now I can give a shevach to Kadosh Baruch
Hu. Is this not a response?
Go off on that though, because we'll see why that's not a.
Why do we know?
Right, good. That's a good way to put it. A unique opportunity emerges when I'm in the very state of mitzvah itself. To give a bracha. That's Shas Asiyah.
What's that? Why? What's that? You know?
So, this is the first big move. This is the move I like. The Skatka. Right? It's very tough, right? So, the Gemara's got a very difficult Havmina. What's the Gemara's Havmina?
Yeah, that you have to do it post every mitzvah because there's a risk of bracha.
Right. Okay. So the Gemara presented as a possibility that maybe you'll say that I should make the bracha after I finish shofar. Right? Because why? Because there's a chance that a guy's going to make a mistake. The Gemara says, yeah, one second, if that's true, then you should do about every mitzvah. This is like a very crazy Havmina. So what do we say? If you learn that the placement of the bracha beforehand is simply a kiyum, right? It's a kiyum, meaning the best place to put it is beforehand. So that's, again, you have an idea called bracha, and then external to it is where it's placed. Again, you gotta think conceptually there. In other words, you have dinner bracha.
You practically always before say it after.
What?
You practically always before say it after.
Exactly, right? You would definitely because what's he suggesting in Havmina? You would lose out the kiyum of over the asyasan, but ensure you don't do bracha levatala. So he works out a formula where you're right. Practically, it will seem to never work. But the point though is that if you learn over the asyasan as a kiyum, right? Then you say bracha levatala wins out. You don't want to say the shame Hashem. You don't want to take a suffix and say the shame Hashem, right? Levatala, right?
How do we say that?
But the other way it'll go is to say no. That built into the very institution of Birchas HaMitzvah is the idea of overlas yasin. It's the identity.
Therefore, you can never get away
with saying it afterwards. Right. Oh, well, except for tefillah. Right. Then you can't say it afterwards, right? But I'm saying, don't you see why the Gemara is beautiful? It's a perfect conceptual chronology. But anyway, so the Gemara is telling you that, no, if you say it's part of the identity of the bracha, right, that means that it must always function as an overlas yasin. But that doesn't necessarily mean what?
Precedence
for now. Right. Again, I'm cheating with the Rambam, but it doesn't mean it has to be in front, right? But I'll answer your question. In other words, if you say over las yasan means that it has to qualify the maisa, and therefore part of the very identity of bracha itself is over las yasan. But where does this? But there's a kiyum. And here's a key point. There's a kiyum in over las yasan itself to go where? Beforehand. That's the Ritva. That's how I'm reading the Ritva. You understand? So the idea is that it's that kodom las yasan is the identity is part of the identity of the bracha. So it always must function as a qualifier. Right, so therefore it would be absurd to suggest that you could say the bracha after shofar. That can't be. It won't be berachas mitzvah anymore. It would shed the identity of berachas mitzvah. Which leads us directly into the problem of tefillah seger. Now you got this is very difficult. And I know you didn't like the approach so much, but you have no choice. So what's the problem with tefillah seger?
You can't do it for shas
maisa. No. Tefillah seger? It's impossible. You can never do it shas maisa, because you're not a Jew. Right? You can only do it afterwards. So but the question is, why Chazal just not have a bracha there? Right? Look, you can't answer, it's impossible to understand. I mean, you can speculate about why they insisted there has to be a bracha on tefillah seger, but I don't know if we can do that. At the very least, we have to identify how the bracha is working. Right? Someone stole brachas and mitzvah. Right, so what do we say? Let's just get what we said, and then we can attack it. What? It's on the effect. Right, because what's the effect of the mitzvah? The Shinui Gavra. So because now he's a new Gavra, so that new Gavra now, that state demands some type of bracha. Okay? That's what? Okay, so that's what the Gemara is saying, right? You can't deny that.
Why is he saying that?
I mean, it would seem like they're bound by the idea that every mitzvah requires a bracha. Since every mitzvah requires a bracha, what? Still a mitzvah? But the reason why I'm using the qualification approach in general is that it answers the Rambam perfectly. Because when the Rambam says, what does the Rambam say? He says what? He says, I make the bracha beforehand. Right? And let's say I didn't. I can still make the bracha b'shas asiyah. How can he say that? So if you tell me that obalas yasa means that it's always qualifying the maisa, so the truth is a guy could make it even after he did the maisa mitzvah. He could make it during shas asiyah. And just that the best place to put it, the kiyum in obalas yasa would be to put it beforehand. And that would answer the Rambam perfectly. Yes. According to the Rambam, you see the reason why the Rambam would say it's a kiyum to say it beforehand, to say in obalas yasa and to say the bracha beforehand, is because according to the Rambam, you gain both the qualifier of the Maisa mitzvah as well as the Asiyas mitzvah itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
But otherwise, you just
get right. Okay. Okay. Good. All right. So now let's go to. So what do the Orz Aruah say? The Orz Aruah said that you can make the bracha after you've completed your Asiyah.
He has explored the different concepts of
bracha of Oval Asiyasan.
Okay.
Right, because he's not saying. Yeah, he's saying, of course, he agrees you should make the bracha beforehand. He's just saying, if let's say you didn't, and the maisa passed, and the asiyah passed, I can still make it afterwards.
So it's
not like, well, right, but he can't disagree that it doesn't qualify at all. But what does he say? He's going the opposite extreme. He's divorcing over las yasan from bracha. He's saying, mitzvah is machayv you in bracha, right? Almost like the havin, well, not quite, but mitzvah requires a bracha, right? And he's going to say that when it comes to Overlas Yasan, he can't say that Overlas Yasan is a... He's definitely saying that Tefillah Seger, I mean, he says this factually, he says Tefillah Seger is the... once that exists, see, that's what makes him better, though. One thing he's saying about Tefillah Seger is once you allow that, there could be other situations. It's not just saying only Tefillah Seger, it's saying that the chutz is really that I could still make a bracha after my asiyah. Except for Chiyuvim. Saying it before.
It's
no, it's separate from bracha. Right? No, it's true. But there's two floating chiyuvim. There's a chiyuv that the mitzvah requires bracha, right? And there's another chiyuv called overlas yasam. That bracha does. I put it as a machriya. I want to say that its function is to be a machriya for the bracha itself, right? So normally speaking, what does it do? It tells you where does the bracha belong beforehand. But if just because I missed my opportunity for saying it before, it doesn't mean there's no chiyah bracha. The chiyah bracha still stands. What? So look at the Gemara Pesachim Zayin Amud Aleph. Now we're going to get to the real. This is the heart of the matter, which is the problem of lulav. And the problem of lulav really expresses whatever we've been saying up to this point about overlas yasan is nice, but it's going to have it becomes very difficult when it comes to the case of lulav. So in order to understand the case of lulav, we have to just do a little bit of background work. Okay. All right, so look at the Gemara Pesachim Zayin Amud Aleph. You can read now, Rav Tucker.
You just had a blank page.
Where it says,
Amar Mivuda Habodek Sarah Shihar Magavar Papa Amar
Papi Rav Papi.
Sorry, Amar Papi Amar. Mishmea de Rava, in the name of Rava, Omer le Ba'er Hamis, Rapapa Omer, Mishmea de Rava, Albir Hamis.
Okay, so there's a machlokes in the Gemara about what lashon he used. Do you say Albir Hamis or Levar Hamis? So the Gemara says, Bila Avar. Excuse me, Bilavair, Kuliyama Lapli. Right, so everyone agrees by Levar that what? Divadai.
Divadai Lehava is
Mashma. Meaning that what does Levar mean? It is
light.
It is prospective. It, right? It's prospective. Okay? Kipligi. So they're arguing about what?
Al
beer chametz, right? Meaning what the lashon of al is.
Is that retrospective or is that
mar savar miikara
mashma?
Umar savar.
Mar savar la ba mashma.
So one shita holds it's always retrospective, and the other shita holds that no, it could even be prospective as well. Okay.
Why do you say always retrospective and even prospective? Why is always retrospective always prospective?
Oh, all right. No. Meisvei haose lula latzmo.
Skip down
some lines.
First one is Nami. Oh, Mesmeh Ha'osu Lo Atzmo. Nevar. Shechianu Mekiyanu Pigianu. What is that? Nutlu Latzes Bo. All
right. Nutlu Latzes
Bo. What does that mean?
Takes it
to be Yotze. And it's amazing how the Gemara decides to stick with this vague language. We don't know yet.
No, it means that you can take it.
The first time I read this without reading on the Gemara, I said, oh, Nutlu. He's going to pick it up to be Yotze's mitzvah, right?
Prior,
yeah. I'm going to pick up my lulav to be Yotze. So what do? I make a bracha, right? So the question is, no, shiny hasam. Okay, but that's a problem. Why is that a problem? Hasam.
Shiny hasam. Why? Why? So we see shiny hasam
de ba'idna. The Agbaha Nafak Bay. That's it. That's all you need to know. So the Gemara says no, because what's the halacha by lulav?
Picking it up itself.
Right, picking up and you're yotze. So what does it mean when you say al tilas lulav? There's only at this point the Gemara seems to imply. It seems to imply because by definition, how they set the mitzvah.
The
Gemara Mem Alpha Beis and Sukkah tells us the well-known custom of the members of Yerushalayim. What would they do? Adam yotze mebeiso ulava biyado. Holach beis hakneses ulava biyado. Right? Kor kriyashma mispalo ulava biyado. Kor b'tora v'noses kapa v'nichal gavi karka. Holach levach hakol v'nacham avelim ulava biyado. Nichas beis medrash. Right? Mishgal ulava biyado. Did I find that? Why? To tell you the zuzus of the mitzvahs. All right, so, what? I don't know. But the point is that no, all we care about is one thing. What does it show you? It shows you there was some minhag that the Anshei Yerushalayim used to carry the lulav everywhere they went. That's all you need to know. Okay? And the other Gemara is the one that Tosos cites, is on Mem Beis Amud Aleph, where he says, he also brings, I mean, he could have quoted the Gemara Psachim, but anyway, he says, Mid'agbe Nafakbe. Right? Same point, where in the Gemara also again tells you that when you pick it up, you're Yotze. Okay? When you pick it up, you're Yotze. So keep those things in mind when we do the Tosfos. That's the only reason why I wanted to bring that in. Mid agvei nafakvei. Second line. All right. So, but I'm going to read. So Tosfos says as follows. Tosfos says over lasiyasan. So this is really the crux of the sugya. This is Tosfos. Lama testament off in sukkah. Tosfos says over lasiyasan. Mitam zed sarach levarach alulav kodam shilenu. Right. Di lo achar shen nutlo mid agvei nafakvei. Can I read myself pirkin? Okay. So Tosfos says very simply, what if the Gemara tells you over lasiyasan? Right? What does that mean? It means over lasiyasan. So therefore, when do you make the bracha on lulav? Beforehand. Right? Because what's the problem? The moment I pick it up, I am yotze. Simple. Simple, simple, simple. And yet, what does he say? Umi yulo mishtavar klal. Okay? Deheach yivarach olav. The humunach b'kli. Right? But you got a problem. Again, taking the assumption in line. What? Tosos is saying, and the Gemara mentions that he used to store a lulav in Kalim, which is fine. But Tosos, and this is a very difficult thing, I don't know what the answer is to this ultimately. But Tosos is saying that at the end of the day, if it's in the Kli, right, over lasiyasan won't work. Right? If it's in the Kli, over lasiyasan, if I make the bracha before and while it's in the Kli, it's not going to work. Why? So you can only say one thing in Tosos. He's saying it doesn't work. You want to know, well, oh, it should work. Okay, you can say that, but he's saying it doesn't work. What? It's not okay, because so he says if it's in the kli, ha amar bekomitz rabba, tefillin me'emasay mevarchalan mishas hanacha ad shas kshira. V'chol shah she'en a mitzvah mizumenes biyado la'asos lo mistar klal baruch alav. Okay?
If it's ready for use, you have to...
Right.
No,
no, you have to
take it out of
clean. Right, that's the problem. You do. So if... Good. So that's why you're going to have to see what I said. Because if you're going to learn it, obviously he's comparing it to the case of tefillin. And yet you're right. By tefillin, you have an intermediate step. You take it out of the case, you put it on your arm, and then you make your bracha. Right? So here, what is he saying about the clay? It seems like it's not a comparable case, because by the clay, there is no intermediate step. He just goes in there and grabs it. So what must you say? What do you mean, see it?
Because
you got to understand, when it's in the kli, even if I see it, what's the chepsa defined as?
Not
ready for mitzvah. That's a definition in the chepsa. So I can't make a bracha beforehand. I'm making a bracha on something that's not ready to be.
You're bringing out of.
Let me just emphasize that point. If it's in the kli, there's a psul emerges that prevents you from making the bracha. Okay, the bracha has to go on a chepsa of mitzvah that's ready to be used. If it's in the kli, play what you need to do. So it says, V'shema mishiyaska little lulav kodem shito esrog mivarech. Solution number one, pick up my lulav, make the bracha, then pick up my esrog, right? Bahainu, over latsiyasan. And I get over latsiyasan. Why? Now again, this is the key. Shema akvin zedzeh. Because I need both. Right? What? Because if you really hold... It's true you could pick up one at a time, but if you really hold each min has its own din natila to it, right? So then how would overlay siyasan work? I did the natila lulav already. I just haven't done my natila's other minim yet, my esrog. But if you say what? If you say that no, that what's happening? Okay.
There's the whole from the midst of lulav, and you've only
collected natila.
You're never gonna do.
But one at a time. Yeah, your mice has been initiated the moment you pick up the lulav. Right, the action of picking up has started. Okay, but the thing is what?
But as
the mitzvah started though.
Why didn't you say the mitzvah started?
What? Well, I'm picking something up. I shouldn't say that. The action, I'm picking up the lulav. Right, but the question is as the. Well, okay, fine, even better. Well,
no.
I mean, I don't want to say that because that's true. If you look at the mitzvah tehillah as the moment I pick something up, now I've started the ma'aseh mitzvah, then overlay siyasan won't work here. But if you say no, we're judging it based on the point where I would be yotzei mitzvah, the culmination of the action, then I can argue that, yeah, I picked up my lulav, but I haven't done started the mitzvah yet, right? And then I make the bracha, when I pick up my esrog, now you'd say that the mitzvah netilas lulav has been completed. Maybe you would say that if I pick up the three minim, that's what I mean by lulav, right? Out of the kli, right, so it's true that I've done. There's a reality of natila there because the natila started. I just haven't finished it yet. Right? Or do you say no? It's only with the culmination of the ma'aseh natila you can actually say this was a natila. It changes the paradigm of the issue. It changes the property of over lasiyasan. See, that's what Tosa's doing. Tosa's taking the idea of over lasiyasan now and expanding it. He's saying that within the kadimas, within putting it before the ma'aseh mitzvah, there's a spectrum.
So when you said in
a
case where...
not a hefsek. I mean, that comes up later on. Why is that a hefsek?
To what?
To make the bracha.
Or it's probably institution.
Right, well, you could say that. You could say it's part of the institution. Or you could say that it's certainly part of the nosa of the bracha, of the mitzvah.
Nosa?
The theme. Like, for instance, that's why you can say, I can make hamotzi and then ask for salt. It's not a hefsek.
Isn't that a
hefsek? Is that since the first step... What we can say is there's no first step here. All we look at is that the culmination of the entire Maisa. And the culmination of the Maisa defines it now as the mitzvah of Natila. So I can make the bracha to pick up my lulav, meaning my three minim. Okay? Oh, now what's the second answer though?
Does
bother, but Yaakov, that's just bothering Tosfos. What bothers Tosfos though is that, but still, you have to tinker with the form of Orvalas Yasan.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little weird because it's not.
Tinker. Basically, the actual real.
His second answer is the one we all know. Inami la'achar shenotol shneim ela shahofek echa mehen. Can I remember so pirkin? Kishachvo dein yotze mitzvos ela derech dilasan or mitzvos. Excuse me, mitzvos ela derech dilasan. Okay. So what's the second answer? Second answer is the most well known one, which is what do you do? You pick up the lulav and the esrog together with the esrog flipped over, right? And then what do? Make the bracha and then flip it over, right? But the problem with that is that, how is that a natila? I did my natila already, didn't I? I picked them both up.
What was the practical?
I pick up the lulav and esrog, but the esrog's flipped down. Or the lulav's flipped down, whichever you want. Okay. What? That's what our answer. I know, but I'm saying. But what's? But I'm going into this. You would say the problem. What?
Why are you saying it's a psul?
What? Yeah, but you can't tell me that if I flip something over, that's a maisa lakicha. How is flipping over Maisa Lakicha? When you pick it up upside down, what's the problem? So there's a psul in the netilah. Okay? So the act of picking them up, when I picked up my, remember, think deraisa here, when I pick up my luav and my esrog flipped over, insofar as netilah is concerned, I've done a netilah. I've done a maisa netilah. Just what's the problem? There's a psul in it. The netilah is there. It just has this defect. And while I got it, so therefore I've done my netilah and just lacking one final component. So what I got to do, I got to flip it over. So it's not. So that's why it's still over last yesem, because again, it's prior to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So so Tosfos is showing you two examples, two scenarios of prior to fulfilling the mitzvah. One is insofar as I did not start the process of netilah at all. The other one is saying that I did netilah. There's a psul in it.